As we've been hearing about all morning, evidence is mounting that Faisal Shahzad, the man suspected to have attempted to bomb Times Square, was inspired and trained by members of the Pakistani Taliban. That's a radical group once believed to be unable to attack the U.S. After 2 days of intense interrogations, officials say Shahzad discussed his contacts with the foreign militant group. Joining us again, Scott Shane, a reporter for our partner, The New York Times. And Scott has been reporting on the investigation as it continues. Scott, I want you to take a listen to this.
This is Chris from Tulsa. I just don't believe it. The federal government has lost its legitimacy. I just don't believe the story. It's unreal. The bomb was put together so amateur. It's another person who ends up holding the bag for this stupid thing that's going on. I just don't believe it.
That's one of our listeners calling in at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Scott, on this conspiracy theory that they set this whole thing up and didn't really happen, what do you have to say?
Well, I guess there are still people who believe that we never landed on the moon and that the government was behind 9/11, but I suppose there will always be folks like that. I think it's indisputable that this guy, there's certainly overwhelming evidence that this guy did, in fact, leave a car packed with explosives at Times Square on Saturday night. I think the question about him, given his long history in the United States, you know, he earned an MBA, he was a married guy, had kids, is what motivated him, what changed him, what radicalized him. And we have very little information on that other than his frequent travels back to his native country, Pakistan, and, growing evidence of connections to radical groups there, in particular the Pakistani Taliban.
Well, information has been trickling out as this investigation continues that they found his name because of he left a telephone number when he returned to the United States and had given it to customs, that obviously that he got onto the airplane because the airlines didn't update their no-fly list. What do you see here that's kind of the most interesting for you as a reporter going forward?
Well, I think the Obama administration, with some justification, pointed with pride to the performance of the various agencies that went into gear on Saturday night after they found this smoking SUV, because within about 53 hours they were able to identify a name, track down Mr. Shahzad, and arrest him. But everybody's looking at that process and coming up with proposals to plug various holes that it revealed, and including this question of the airlines failing to check updates of people added to the no-fly list. And there are other proposals floating about, including one that would strip an American citizen like Mr. Shahzad of his U.S. citizenship, possibly to put him before a military commission. But I think the most important question for the future would be what made him do it. The Pakistani Interior Minister gave an interview to the BBC yesterday, and he was sort of asked, why do all these radical plots, all these terrorist plots, come back to Pakistan? And he answered with a reasonable point. Here's a guy who moved to the United States, studied for years, worked for years, married, had kids, took U.S. citizenship. He said, isn't it fair to say that whatever happened to him happened to a large degree in the United States?
Okay, Scott Shane, reporter for the Washington Bureau, for our partner, The New York Times. Let's get a little bit of a closer look on the legal processes going on here. Elsa Chang is with us. She's a reporter with WNYC, which co-produces The Takeaway. Can you tell us what's happened with him legally in the court system and where he's going next?
Okay. Well, first there was this whole issue of whether he was read his Miranda rights too soon or whether he should have been read his Miranda rights at all. He was read his Miranda rights after a delay. There's this exception called the public safety exception where if a defendant poses an imminent risk of harm, the government can delay reading those rights. You have a right to remain silent, you have a right to an attorney, etc. We've seen that on all these cop shows. But the important thing to remember is, there's this whole political debate about whether he should have been read those rights, because once you read those rights, there's an assumption among at least a lot of political leaders that have been talking that a defendant will stop cooperating. But Shahzad has completely disproven that in this case. He waived those rights. According to the government, he's cooperating absolutely freely. So in this case, reading him his rights didn't clam him up.
Yes. And he's an American citizen.
Exactly. He's an American citizen who was arrested on American soil. So he's basically entitled to all the constitutional guarantees we give defendants who enter our criminal justice system. Yesterday, it was reported that he waived his right to a speedy arraignment. That's his court hearing you go to hear the charges against you and to be informed of your rights by a judge. It's sort of your first appearance in front of a judge. And there's some debate as to whether that was a good move for him. Now, first of all, we don't know whether Shahzad has an attorney right now. It has not been confirmed by the government. We don't know if he's waived his right to an attorney. Some legal experts say that if Shahzad waived his right to a speedy arraignment and he actually doesn't have an attorney right now, that is really troubling for him because your ability to get a lawyer is so dependent on that first court appearance. If you haven't been presented to a judge, how is the judge supposed to provide you with an attorney or at least make sure someone's provided you with an attorney?
But there's also reports saying that because of the negative reaction and coverage in the press, especially from Liz Cheney, to people who've been helping defending the people in Guantanamo, that perhaps they're concealing the identity of whomever's attorney is.
It could be. We just don't know. I mean, at this point, it could be, you know, I've talked to some criminal defense attorneys, and they actually say that in many ways, it's a good thing that Shahzad is cooperating right now. And it's a good thing that nothing's interfering with that process. If he can cooperate fully, substantively, and usefully right now, it'll be a bigger payoff down the road to him in getting some leniency in the sentencing recommendations that the prosecutors will issue. So in a way, it would be in his interest for his, you know, lawyers not to make themselves public, for everything to be sort of within closed doors, for him to keep cooperating with the interrogations if he's looking to have a lighter sentence.
I'm certainly not a lawyer or a judge, but I have to say that knowing that he got read his rights and he's getting his due process is reassuring to me. He's an American citizen. I would want to be treated the same way. Elsa Chang is a reporter with WNYC who co-produces The Takeaway. Thanks so much, Elsa.
You're welcome.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.